So, I think this works. Can anyone hear me? Is it coming through the speakers all right? Good. I didn't realize I could scare Harry like that. Just leave the room. Mental note, good to know. Pastor G asked me to speak tonight, and so it was actually kind of timely because I received a letter from Pastor Josephus last week, and so I actually just want to start out reading that just to so everyone can hear some things of what's going on. October 7th, 2019, greetings from Tama, Ghana. Our sincere thanks to the local churches in Rome and Seneca Falls, because both the Rome Church and us, we support him. So in many ways, you have been our source of support as we co-labor and journey together. As the Apostle Paul said to the Thessalonians in 1 Thessalonians 3:8, for now we live, if ye stand fast in the Lord. We will say, but for your prayer and financial support, we would not be where we stand. Please keep those prayer altars burning. May the faithful Lord continue to water you as you water others in his servants. Proverbs 11:25. So about the churches in Tama, there's the couple of them, the New Beginning Church, Community Church, and the Maison Grace Church. The church is gradually regaining confidence and expanding in the northern region of Ghana as well. We've had 3 new members over the past months in Maison Grace Church. One of them came after the death of his friend, who was a member of our congregation in Tama. Interestingly, when he came to church for the first time, without being instructed to, he sat in the seat of his late friend, who went on to be with the Lord in July, where this person used to sit, and he never left that seat since. It's a true replacement, I thought. At New Beginning Community Church, please pray that people find a ministry and would occupy and keep them in the body. The Christian school, so there's the Christian school we saw, I don't know if everyone remembers the green buildings that we saw from the photos and video and stuff like that when the guys went. Our Christian school also reopened on the 10th of September with a slight increase in enrollment. We closed the last academic year with a total of 73 students, and almost all of them returned this term. As a result of the prayers of the church, no doubt, 13 new students were added to that number, totaling 86 currently. Our prayer is that the Lord would continue to grow the Christian school as a church-run, profit-earning business, which would support the church's mission. Please continue to pray with us for the realization of this vision. So that's really cool that there's more students coming into the church, into the school, more students coming into the school. Because remember that one of the things I was most struck by with that school was the fact that they're ministering to Muslims. There are Muslims who are coming to that school because of the academic because of the good academic nature at the school. And so they're able, there are ways that they're able to have that witness of Christ in front of them. And then on missions, in the north, Tama Lee and the villages we are involved with, the Lord continues to make his presence felt. We are planning formally launching the Tamale Church in mid-December this year, as we have quite a few in the Lord brought our way who are currently studying God's Word and attending prayer meetings with us. About 10 of them have expressed interest in the Timothy Initiative Program from 2 Timothy 2:2, discipleship program we plan to start next month. So that, again, that Timothy Initiative, that's basically where they teach a class, and people who come to the class, the idea is bring somebody else along that you can teach as well. So it's not just individuals coming, it's yourself and then someone that you can help disciple and mentor and stuff. So in Yandanyili, the first village we had the privilege to cast our nets in, we are still working on the plan for a 6-classroom building, a chapel, pit latrines, biosand water filters, and mission house for the village. Upon completion of the plan and knowing the total cost, we'll start the implementation as finance will enable us at the time soliciting funds for the completion. Already 2/3 of funds have been allocated for the missions work in the north, Tama Lee and Bagliga. In these 2 villages, with a population of about 150 and 300 respectively, there are no latrines. Everyone, including us, when we go visit, have to go in the bush, and that's not all that great. Please pray for the conversion of the chief Ibrahim Bulgri, the elders, especially the 5 who made confessions during our last visit there 2 months ago, and the entire village. And so then the other part about Bagliga, there's a new field that we have mentioned before. We have been invited by the village chief, Mohammed Haruna, a Muslim, in response to my request a few years ago for land to do church work. He has sent a message to say he has allocated church land for us so we could now come as we had desire then. Please pray for the conversion of this chief, his elders, and entire village as we evangelize their community next week. So that's this week. They're in the community of Begliga. And then the Azogli Bible study with Pastor Ross continues to hold early Sunday morning services. Please pray for him and his wife. There, the new ones coming out. One of the members, Mary Amano, is slowly recovering from a stroke. She's the one who collapsed Wednesday evening while the song leading church in February. So I'm sure Harry and Bea remember that well. Please pray for her full and speedy recovery. And then also, one of our Dabani interpreters in Tamale was diagnosed with hepatitis B, a viral infection, for a few weeks ago. We ask that you keep praying for us for his recovery. He is key to our ministry in villages up north, as we can only preach there through an interpreter. And again, many thanks for your prayer and support. We are wishing a very fruitful conference. And there's another conference, I think, in Canada that he was talking about there. So, and just continue to pray for my health, wife, daughter, and details between the two churches in his service together, Josephus. So that was cool to see a little update there about what's going on there. I keep praying for this this one Muslim, Muhammad Maruna, the guy that he's basically like, yeah, you can start a church, because the whole idea of, he sees that if churches start, there's other activity, economic activity and stuff that often goes along with that. So tonight, I had a couple of things on my mind for the last probably month or two. I don't know if you guys had knew, but my father passed away back in September. And so there was some stuff. It was expected. We had, my brothers and I went out a couple years ago, 2 years ago, because we thought that it was coming then. So we've been sort of planning and such for the last couple years. And then this September, he did pass. But in that, it was interesting, because I spoke a little bit at the, we had a little memorial service actually last week. It was last Monday. And there were some things I wanted to talk about tonight, because I actually pulled out a bunch of scriptures. I looked up the word blood. And so I looked up, to find all the instances of the word blood in the scriptures. And so I actually put together a listing of ones that I read, because just as somewhat of a background, my father was Catholic, and so he was raised Catholic and had a lot of things in the Catholic faith and stuff. But what was interesting to me, because I, on the way back, we actually picked up, there was a few things that he still had left at the nursing home, and so we picked those up, and I actually, one of the items in there was a Bible that he had. It was a Catholic Bible, and so there was a number of things. Another portion of scripture that we don't consider to be a part of the canon. But even the same books and stuff, I was just reading through it. Because back in August, I went out there for a couple of days to see him, because I thought that, it sounded like he was on his last days. And so I was able to read to him out of this. And for the most part, I could read, some of it to him, and comparing it just in my head to what we read often with the New King James or the King James or whatnot. And it's just kind of interesting, the differences. And so, first off, just if you're, the couple of passages, there's Matthew, Mark, and Luke. So Matthew 26, 28. I'll open up to that real quick. So Matthew chapter 26, verse 28. So that is a part where he's actually, this is the Last Supper, some refer to it. And so, going back a verse or two to 26. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." Then he took the cup and gave drink, gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, drink from it, all of you. And then verse 28, for this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. That, just the word is the part that really struck me. Because it says, for this is my blood in the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. So it is shed. And it was, I mean, we read the passage further and we can see, or a little bit earlier, and it's wine. Somebody's saying, this is my blood. So it represents his blood, which is shed. So his blood is shed for the many for the remission of sins. And then it's the same thing. I'm just going to read the two. Verses Mark 14:24, if you want to write that down. And he said unto them, this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many. And then the next one, the third passage, so the Matthew, Mark, and Luke, they all recount this. And so likewise also, this is in Luke 22:20. So likewise also the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you. So one of the things that I was looking at, because I looked at these verses in this other Bible, it was copyright, I think I looked it up, it was like 1970 or so, and it's called like the New American Bible, I think, or something like that. But what was very interesting to me was the fact that those verses, they stand out in however this translation was in 1970. It says, basically, this is my blood of the New Testament, which will be shed for many for the remission of sins. And it may seem like a minor point because it's like, okay, here it is the night before the crucifixion, but which is shed for many for the remission of sins. And I saw that difference and I was like, that's interesting because it is shed or it will be shed in the future. But the fact is that it is shed. And so it made me think of the verses. And so I looked up these other ones, and so it reminds me of before the foundation of the world, and that phrase, and so I looked up a bunch of that, just because it's like, wait a second, this happened, this is my blood, which is shed for, this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins, and so going back to that word foundation, I looked it up and I found it's a Greek word, and it's if you look it up in the Strong's, it's actually 2602, and the word is kataboli, is for this word foundation, because I was thinking of that, wait a second, if one translation says will be shed, this is my blood which will be shed, that's a different thing of will be shed or is shed, and it was shed, and so that word foundation, I looked it up, and so it goes back. There's a number of different a number of different scriptures that have that word foundation, katabole. And so I just wanted to start with a couple here. So John 17:24. We'll go there. And this is where Jesus is praying for to the Father. And it goes, go back to 22, verse 22, John 17:22. And the glory which you gave me, so this is Jesus talking, praying to the Father, and the glory which you gave me, I have given them, that they may be one just as we are one. I in them, and you in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. Father, I desire that they also, whom you gave me, may be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which you have given me, for you loved me before the foundation of the world. So that was one instance of Jesus praying to God the Father, and you see that phrase, that God the Father loved Christ, loved Jesus before the foundation of the world. And so a going. There's a couple of different verses where that phrase is, before the foundation of the world. But the next one I wanted to go to was Ephesians, in the first chapter of Ephesians. So in Ephesians 1, it basically starting in verse 3, it says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love." And it goes on. But again, there's that. So the verse in John, God the Father loved Christ before the foundation of the world. And then Ephesians 1:4, Christ chose us before the foundation of the world, and that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. And then there's actually quite a few other ones. Going to Hebrews, there's three of them that are, I think, are key in Hebrews. In chapter 4, in chapter 4, let's start out with verse 1. "Therefore, since a promise remains of entering his rest, let us fear, lest any of you seem to have come short of it. For indeed, the gospel was preached to us as well as to them, but the word which they heard did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in those who heard it." And then verse 3, "For we who have believed do enter that rest, as he has said, so I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world." And so there is that phrase again, from the foundation of the world. So you have the works were finished from the foundation of the world. So it was from the get-go, the plan, the plan of salvation, of Christ coming to the earth and shedding his blood. And so I just find that striking in those verses I talked about earlier, the Matthew 26:28, Mark 14:24, and Luke 22:20, when it says, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you." It is shed, so it's like an active, it's a present tense type of verb there, and so that is the case. And then the next one, Hebrews 9:26. And so Hebrews 4:3, the works were finished. So the works were finished from the foundation of the world. So Hebrews 9:26 we're going to go to now. Actually, let's go back to 23. "Therefore, it was necessary that the copies of the things in the heavens should be purified with these, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. For Christ has not entered the holy places made with hands, which are copies of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Not that he should offer himself often, as the high priest enters the most holy place, every year with blood of another. He then would have to suffer often since the foundation of the world, but now, once, at the end of the ages, he has appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself." And so it's interesting that, that here we are at the end of the ages, in Hebrews there, talking about that, so that that he would then have to suffer often. So since the foundation of the world, Christ would have had to suffer often, and it's referring to, in the Old Testament, you see a lot of just blood sacrifices that the Jews had going on within the law. And those things were really just representative. They were to show and point to Christ who was coming. And so it's kind of neat to see that since the foundation of the world, so that was the plan in place, that Christ would suffer, that Christ would shed his blood on the cross for us. And then there's the next one I had was 1 Peter 1:20. Make sure it's the right one here. There we go. I'm actually going to go back because 17. And if you call on the Father, so 1 Peter 1:17, and if you call on the Father, who without partiality judges according to each one's work, conduct yourselves throughout the time of your stay here in fear, knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like gold, silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb, without blemish and without spot. He indeed was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who, through him, believe in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. And so that, again, goes back to the Old Testament there, where it talks about, verse 19, but with the precious blood of Christ. So we were redeemed not with corruptible things, but incorruptible. And it's interesting that it talks about corruptible things like gold or silver. So it's like those are corruptible things. But Christ's blood is not corruptible. And so, from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your father. So aimless things, you know, sinful things that we've done that we've received by tradition, but with the precious blood of Christ. So we have been, we have not been redeemed with corruptible things. So we have been redeemed with the precious blood of Christ, which is incorruptible and far more valuable than silver or gold. And that phrase in 19, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, that right there is just kind of cool because it brings back the picture that you see in the Old Testament of all the lambs that were without spot, that were sacrificed in with the blood sacrifices and things, and that was all a picture of this. So, and then the ones, the two that I really are the ones that I think of most when I think of that phrase before the foundation of the world. There's actually two of them in Revelation. So Revelation 13:8 is where I'm going to go next. So I'll go back to 7. It was granted to him, so Revelation 13:7, it was granted to him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And authority was given him over every tribe, tongue, and nation. All who dwell on the earth will worship him, whose names have not been written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. If anyone has an ear, let him hear. So that right there, whose names have not been written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. So Christ was slain. That was, it's one of those things where it's kind of timeless in that it took place, but God knew, so it took place roughly 2,019 years ago, or roughly 2,000 years ago, but from the foundation of the world, God knew that this is what he was going to do for man, for sinful man. And then Revelation 17:8. Go over there. And so, again, the beast that you saw, so in Revelation 17:8, the beast that you saw was and is not, and will ascend out of the bottomless pit and go to perdition. And those who dwell on the earth will marvel, whose names are not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, when they see the beast that was and is not and yet is. And so that the fact that Christ was the lamb slain from the foundation of the world is just something that really, you know, it really is foundational of the faith. That, you know, it's one of these things, let's study it as long as we're, you know, as long as we can fog a mirror, as long as we're alive, let's look at this and let's continue to study it. Now, the reason for that, because, so one of the things that I actually was looking at the memorial service, I was actually able to talk with my uncle, he's probably 5 or 8 years older than my father was, I think, somewhere in mid to late 80s. But I sat down with him, and this is, I mean, a family. I didn't really know the family all that well. I can remember when I was a little kid. I remember Nana and Grandpa's, you know, their 50th anniversary back in the mid-80s or whatnot. And then I remember my grandfather dying, and we went to this same cemetery plot in Boston when I was, I was probably somewhere between Hope and Sophia's age. And so that's, you know, one of the earliest memories I have of this place. And so we went there all the way back then. And then a year after Ethan was born, my grandmother died, and we buried her in the same plot. And so, you know, I was like, okay, this is like a particular place on the earth that, you know, I have this sort of memory of, and it's a memorial. There's a, you know, big stone there going back to my great-grandfather who was, apparently, and I didn't even realize this until this last week, but he was born in 1851. So my father's grandfather was long ago. So it's just kind of an interesting place that you can think of your family and stuff. But thinking of the family, sitting down with my uncle at the memorial, my brother had put together a little slideshow of old photos and stuff. And one of the photos came up. There's a picture of my father and his a younger brother. And so my uncle was like, he's like, wait a second, pause that there. So I stopped it. And he's like, so that's what he looks like. I'm like, what are you talking about? He's like, I haven't seen him in like 30 or 40 years. I was blown away. I'm like, I didn't realize that it was that long that they hadn't seen or talked or anything. And then he even told me that with my own dad, he hadn't seen him in 20 years because they didn't, you know, want to speak or whatever. So there's this whatever it was that, you know, it's one of those things probably best that I don't, you know whatever went on there or whatever. But it makes me think of this about the blood of Christ, because it's like, all right, so they were unreconciled. They never, you know, got back around and were able to talk and stuff. And that's, you know, it's kind of an interesting theme, because with my own, you know, immediate, my brothers and sisters, there, you know, there's five of us. I'm the youngest of five. And it's like, all of us remember when Dad left, you know, long ago, that my parents were split when I was just, you know, a couple months old. But he would come and he'd pick us up and stuff like that on the weekends. But then at some point, something went wrong. And I made the analogy to there's a movie out there called A Beautiful Mind about a guy, John Nash, who was, a brilliant genius of an economist, I guess. And so he won like a Nobel Prize for some stuff he did. But I watched the movie and I was like, oh my goodness, that could be my dad, because it was like, brilliant guy, can get along with people, and then shuts off and has like these, I don't know, hallucinations or whatever, and it's like some of that stuff was there. But so a lot of that, you know, kind of seemed to happen with my father. But as I grew up and as I grew in the faith, you know, one of the things I can remember was in Romans 8:15. I can remember distinctly in like 1993, I think it was, I can remember coming across this for the first time, this passage, and where it says, and so I was about 16 or so at the time, for you did not receive, in Romans 8:15, for you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. And that was always something where, you know, growing up without my dad around in the house and stuff, like it's just one of those things of, okay, all, you know, everyone else saw, you know, what it's like to have dad around and stuff, and I was like, all right, that's a foreign thing for me. But that, I can remember sitting on my bed and reading that and just sobbing, because it says, you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear. So you don't need to fear, you know, all these things that are unknown with life without a, you know, without a dad or whatnot. But you receive the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. And so that spirit of adoption, that he's brought us into his family, and we can cry out. That's a term of endearment, I think is the phrase I'm looking for, that Abba, Father, so Papa. That's kind of what that is there. But only because of the shed blood of Christ is that able to be. And so with that, you know, it actually leads me into, it brings me to a lot of this stuff of the reconciliation, because there was this whole other story where, so my dad had just sort of left the scene or whatever, and so for 5-6 years, and I ended up, my mother sold the house, and we left town, we moved out of state, but then I came back years later, and happened to, by chance, see my father in the subway system in Boston. And I was like, I was with my sister at the time, and I was like, is that dad over there? And so I went up to the guy, and I'm like, excuse me, is your name? Because I was 16, I think, and I was like, I hadn't seen him, and I had just come across this verse, I think, or somewhere about there. And I was like, excuse me, sir, is your name George? And he was like, Andrew. And I'm like, oh, my goodness, here I am on the streets of Boston, a guy I haven't seen in 6-7 years or whatnot. Barely remember the guy, and I just, you know, so it's like one of those encounters that I think that God put there, and from that, I was able to, you know, write letters to him and stuff, and then later on, 5 years later or whatnot, I was able to, I moved to Massachusetts, the Boston area, and so I was able to, there was like a probably year and a half, 2 year period where I was able to get to know the guy at, you know, age 21, and so it was kind of like, cool, so I can, because of the blood of Christ, because Christ has saved me and shown me what forgiveness is and shown me what reconciliation is, I'm able to just drop all that and not, you know, hold on to it. Oh, you left us and there's this and that and whatever. But it was, I was privileged to have this relationship reopen with him. And it makes me think, there's actually a couple of verses, and I'll go through some of these, because it really is tied. So the blood and reconciliation. So those ones I had. Yeah, so 2 Corinthians 5. I'll go there next. Second Corinthians 5, there we go. Yeah, so verse 16. Therefore, from now on, in 2 Corinthians 5:16, therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh. And so, I was able to not regard Dad according to whatever problems or whatever issues he had that, you know, made him sort of go off or whatnot, but then even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And verse 18, now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God were pleading through us, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. And so, for he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. And that's just, you know, one of those, another one of the reconciliation verses that it, you know, makes us realize that God's in the business of reconciliation. And so it was just kind of neat to be able to see that, you know, and my brothers and sisters had, you know, different approaches and different, you know, experiences, I guess. But as I look at the Word, as I study the Word and see that, the blood of Christ, that Christ shed his blood, that verse there, that now all things are of God, who has reconciled to us to himself. So first off, he's reconciled us to him. So God reconciles us to himself. That's first and foremost. And then secondarily, after that, who reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. He's given us that ministry of reconciliation to be able to show people the blood of Christ and show it the how effective it is in allowing you to forgive those things that, you know, whether or not the person knows it or not, that, you know, if they've offended you or whatever. Through the blood of Christ, we understand what that forgiveness is. And so that is that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. And then now we are ambassadors of Christ for Christ. But that right there, God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. So he is in that business. He was in that business of reconciling the world to himself. And that's the core of the gospel right there, is that God was bringing man back into relationship with himself through the blood of Christ. And then there was another couple verses there. Yeah, those reconcile verses. So the other ones were, I had Hebrews 2:17. So I'll just double check if that was the one I was thinking of. Is that right? Yeah, so therefore in all things he had to be made like his brethren, that he might be merciful and be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make propitiation for the sins of the people. That propitiation. So that wasn't quite the one I was looking for. Let me look at this one. There it is. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 14. Ephesians 2:14. For he himself is our peace, who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of separation, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, that is, the law of commandments contained in ordinances, so as to create in himself one new man from the two, thus making peace, and that he might reconcile them both to God in one body through the cross, thereby putting to death the enmity. And he came and preached peace to you who are far off and to those who were near. So that right there, the enmity, that putting to death the enmity. So when I, you know, I was looking at that, I was thinking about that, the enmity that I just saw in my own, you know, kind of extended family, and where they just hadn't spoken, they hadn't gone to each other, and even, you know, there was other things or whatever that had gone on and stuff, but that knowing that through Christ, that is what he's in the business of doing. That is what God is in the business of doing, is reconciling, and it is only through the blood of Christ. And so, that next one, there's a couple more verses, and then I'll finish up here. So that Romans 5:9. I'm just going to read some of these, and then we'll finish up. Much more than Romans 5:9. Much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. And then 1 Corinthians 11:25. After the same manner, also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, "The cup is the new testament in my blood. This do ye, as oft as ye drink it, in remembrance of me." And then Ephesians 1:7, I think I might have read that again, but I'll do it again. In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. And then in Colossians 1:14, Colossians 1, let's go there. read a couple of verses from Colossians 1. Yes, there it is. So chapter 1, verse 13 of Colossians, and we'll read kind of right through. He has delivered us. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he may have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him all the fullness should dwell, and by him to reconcile all things to himself, by him, whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of his cross. And so that's kind of it, just that from the number one, from the foundation of the earth, from the foundation of the world, the Lamb was slain, the blood was spilt. That was the plan all along. And as it pertains to reconciliation, because this is one of those things that God has given us this ambassadorship, if you will. We hear about all the different ambassadors that the United States has to other countries and stuff, and they're there to represent the nation of the United States. But this talks about that we are ambassadors of this. So I just want to encourage you, just study that, study the blood, how it's effective in helping us to reconcile with one another and family members and whomever. So let's pray. Father, we thank you for all that you've done for us. We thank you for the blood that you have, that your Son has shed for us, that you can reconcile us. We thank you, Lord, that it was in your plan to be reconciling the world to yourself through the blood of Christ. We lift up tonight, Lord, we lift up everyone here tonight. We pray that you would be glorified. Help us to think about the blood of Christ. Help us to continue to study your word. Help us to continue on with the work that you've given us here in the ambassadorship, that we're ambassadors for Christ. Help us to do that, Lord. And just give us wisdom as we go forward, Lord. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.